Stampede Blue. What we talking about? Indianapolis, AFC South. Stampede Blue, let's air it out. Fly route, let's air it out. Topics, loaded like offense. Colt-centric, talk about it often. Stampede Blue, let's air it out. Fly route, let's air it out to a big.
Welcome back to another Stampede Blue Colts cast, ladies and gentlemen. I am your host, Matt Dainley. Thank you guys for coming back to the show. Things are moving right along on the podcast front. Me telling you guys that Stephen Holder is going to have his own show now. I believe something in the range of horseshoes with Stephen Holder. So going to be a fun thing to get into. He's excited to get started. We're excited for him to get started. And this is going to be really interesting as well. And as also mentioned, Brett Mock and Chris Shepard are going to be doing some film review. I don't know if it's going to be, I think it's going to be both simulcast, similar to how we've done some of the Colts casts in the past, and doing it on YouTube as well as the audio on there. And you guys will be able to hear at least the commentary on the play itself. And we'll see how that kind of shakes out. It'll be interesting. I'm excited for these to get going. So today, folks, I'm back from injury. I'm actually participating today. Had a little thing this morning, feeling pretty solid considering all of it. So wanted to get on here and give you guys kind of a brief review of what I saw on the film from the Patriots last game, and kind of their, I don't know if necessarily their tendencies, they certainly were last week. I mean, I had nothing else to do besides sit and watch a football game, to be quite honest with you. And chief off the Wi-Fi from the hospital and stuff like that. So this is what I did. It's kind of fun to look at what these guys really, you know, strive to do against the Dolphins. And some of this stuff is going to be necessary. Colts are going to need to know some of this. You guys are going to know what to expect in a couple of different situations, especially when it comes to it, or at least what they did last time. The funny thing about the Patriots and Belichick and Brady, how many times are their game plans identical? You know, almost never. So we'll have to see kind of how that matches up. I'll be interested to see if some of these situations carry over and if they actually run them that way, or if they do scrap that game plan and bring up a completely new one, because the Dolphins ran a lot, at least in the front, a lot of what the Colts do as well. They didn't stunt nearly as much, and they didn't. They would just blitz if they needed to get in, but they don't stunt as much, and they definitely don't slant as much in their front four. So kind of some similarities, at least with the front, and just not really the same game plan. So be interesting to see how the Patriots plan to attack the Colts front here, being that the Colts defense is kind of their strength at this point, I think, right? I mean, Andrew Luck's obviously the strength as well, but you've got, as far as injuries, as far as where and how they've actually played in these first four games, the defense has been more consistent and a little bit more, you know, a little more game changers, you know, type plays, some turnovers. They've made some great tackles. They've been excellent on third down. A lot of that stuff. Colts offense hasn't been nearly as consistent as that. So that'll be, you know, again, something that'll be fun to watch. So what did I pick up on the Pats film here after I quit mumbling? And mainly one of the most interesting things that I saw was when Sony Michel was in the game, his best runs were with a fullback being used. Now, that sounds pretty general and pretty, you know, like, I mean, no kidding, he's got an extra blocker, they're going to be better. But literally, he didn't run in between the tackles, I don't think. Definitely not more than a time or two without a fullback in there. He was pretty successful going in between the tackles. He would bounce it out. He seemed to be very much more comfortable running with a fullback in front of him. On the other hand, White, he didn't need necessarily the fullback. He was creating on the outside, on the inside as well without a fullback. They just would pull their left guard occasionally as opposed to using a fullback or something similarly to what the Colts do with Nelson. Would get him some yardage, it'd get him some space and allow him to make a play. Sony Michel, man, he ate up some yards, but it was really, I mean, it was interesting to see, you know, you don't see a fullback used all that often, at least throughout the year, or with that many teams at all, for that matter. But then to see one used pretty consistently, not only that, but paired with a specific back, I thought that was interesting. We'll have to watch that. And honestly, they gashed the Dolphins with that running game, with those two in there. They couldn't they couldn't stop the Pats' run game at all. They don't throw a lot to Michelle out of the backfield either. That's definitely much more of White's kind of game, point in the game where he has that opportunity as well. Very much more an established back. They understand that he knows the playbook. He's probably, you know, he's obviously, I mean, he's not a rookie, so they obviously know that he has, you know, some past with this and knows what to do. And they like the way he kind of reads the field as well. And, you just have to account for White, though, out of the backfield. He's deadly with room to move. The Colts, you know, especially, they've given up some big plays in the screen game. They've not been very good in the screen game themselves as far as offensively. But defensively, they're going to have to get James White, and they're going to have to keep him to minimal yak when he is out of the backfield as a receiver. He could kill the Colts. He could definitely put a couple touchdowns on the board himself. So, defensively, I didn't see them send five rushers all that often. They did, not very much. Like I mentioned, they don't slant as much either. And now this was kind of on both sides of the ball between the Dolphins and the Patriots, but they just didn't slant very often at all. They're basically winning the point of attack and stopping the Miami running game cold. It was pretty interesting to watch. Last week we saw the Colts, you know, drop Al Woods or an extra defensive lineman into coverage in the middle, kind of a very short, almost spy-looking drop, and then they've got three getting pressure. That was similar to what the Patriots did to Ryan Tannehill in this offensive line in Miami. They got the pressure with just three. They got the pressure with four. When they had, you know, a long distance to go, whether it be second and like 20-something because of a penalty, Miami was not getting anywhere with this New England defense. They did it. But this linebacking crew, they've got some weaknesses in them, and we'll talk about that here in a little bit. Brady threw some really bad balls in this game too early. They kind of let him get away with it. It was just something to think about going forward. You can definitely – look, anybody, any quarterback in the NFL is suspect to – getting hit a few times, getting a lot of pressure in their face, to turning into a very average quarterback with pressure. Brady did this in this game a few times. I'd say four, five, six attempts that were very obvious. You know, he is a guy that, look, this Colts pass rush isn't from, we've talked about this in the past, there is just not one guy. It's not just Teray. It's not Sheard. It's not just one of the interior guys. It's not Hunt, just Hunt. It's really very much a team scheme pass rush. It is not an individual that is just holding it down out there. This game particularly, I think that works for the Colts. Because if we know anything about the Patriots, they game plan very well for individuals. They can shut individuals down. They've shut Andrew Luck down for the most part, at least when it counted in that AFC Championship game, that's for sure. They've shown the ability to do that. Not only, I mean, not just the Colts, but I'm talking anybody in the NFL. If you give them an extra week to game plan for you, you're in real trouble. It'll be interesting to see what they do on a short week like this week, whether they try to game plan the whole offensive line, if they try to pick out the Colts' strengths and just try to chip away at them, or if they really just try to take the weaknesses of this Colts' little defense or offense or any of these little different positions and see if they really try to exploit those as a means of just getting the occasional big play, as opposed to saying, we're going to muscle up with your muscle and we're going to beat you. That's not my opinion would be what they would do. I think that they would probably just try to game plan as little as possible. I think the Colts are as well. They know what they're going to get. They're not going to try to make things too difficult on a short week. I mean, no real practice on Monday, no real practice on Tuesday, Wednesday. That's what you got until Thursday game. You know, I mean, Wednesday they're traveling. So kind of a, you know, and it's just not going to work that way. So hopefully the Colts can, you know, exploit some of what the Patriots are lacking in, and that would be great. If they can get pressure with four, they'll be in good shape, and they'll make a play defensively. The statistics tell you that they will. They won't maybe not more than one or three, but they're going to turn the ball over. The Colts have done that consistently this year on defense. And you can't really risk blitzing against these guys too often. I mean, you've got the Gronk factor. You take another guy out of coverage, Gronk is going to simply eat us for dinner, and it's not going to be pretty. They have to be able to get that pressure with four. Gronk is a very real deal. Edelman's going to be back. I mean, I don't know who else they've got for cheating and suspension and all that other stuff. They are the Patriots, but I know of Edelman. He's supposed to be coming back, isn't he, after 4 weeks too? The Colts haven't actually named Robert Turbin back to the 53 as of this minute. It might by the time you hear this. But so that's interesting to find out what's going to happen there. The Colts they've already got seven inactives, guys. I mean, any of their questionable guys go out, they'll have eight, at least eight. And that's not good. You need as many bodies on a Thursday as you can possibly get. Another thing with this offense of the Patriots, they ran split backs early and often in the second half. It typically meant a downfield passing attack. There wasn't anything really checked down in that situation because I think that they were using their running backs as read routes or option routes almost to where the pass rush comes from. If you're getting the pass rush, you stay in and you protect. If not, you leak in one fashion or another. And they were doing that a little bit as well. So it typically was meaning a downfield passing attack. They'd sit in and they'd block, and then one guy would leak out as an absolute, you know, backup plan or the absolute last check down, and everything else was a downfield route. So in the first half, however, though, there was quite a bit of play action. So they're going to split it up, not just from last week to this week, but first half to second half as well. They showed that. We've got to get these linebackers in space for New England. Talked a little bit about this a minute ago. These guys are not fast. They're not great in coverage. They're good at flowing the ball, and they're powerful, and they're really good tacklers. So if you get them and you break through initially in that first level, that second level is critical to not only force some space, but to be able to have another blocker coming up to help them spring them into the third level. It's necessary. We see a lot of Quentin Nelson pulling. I expect this week with tight end Braden Smith possibly getting the start at right tackle, and more likely almost getting the start at right tackle, what we got? We're going to have to use his athletic ability to get to that second level, and he's fresh. Remember that. That's nice. That's a good thing. Hopefully he plays well enough because he's fresh. The Colts need a fresh body there. These linebackers can be exploited. The Colts don't have a lot in the way of the receiving game right now, especially that Hilton's out. That's terrible. I mean, that is not good. And let's go through this really fast for you guys. Jack Doyle is out. Denzel Good is out because of his brother being shot in a drive-by. It's awful. T.Y. Hilton is out. Marlon Mack, Kenny Moore, and Hassan Ridgeway are out again. Quincy Wilson is out again as well. Vinatieri, questionable. We know better than that. Darius Leonard, Brian Kelly, Nate Hairston, and Clayton Gathers, as well as Anthony Costanzo, are all questionable as well. So keep that in the back of your mind as we're talking about all this stuff. Kind of a virtual who's who of Colts, important Colts on the injury report. Not luck, though. That's nice. You got to love that. That actually means a lot. So after this, after I talk a little bit more about this film session that I was watching of the Patriots, we're going to go to a SiriusXM show that I was guesting on. We had a little bit of an interesting conversation. I'll let you guys get that at the second half of the show. So stay tuned for that if you want to listen to that. Kind of me being on the hot block as opposed to me interviewing, you know, guests on my show. So let's see, where are we at? One of the things with this linebacking crew is that Vinoy plays a very similar role to that of Leonard in terms of importance to the defense itself. Very similar to Leonard to the Colts there. Not obviously, Leonard's far more athletic. He's obviously a rookie, so he's got the youth and energy and all that other and the speed on him for sure. Van Noy is so instinctual, though. He is in a lot of things. He disrupts a lot. He disrupts on the edge. He'll come in. He's very quick at diagnosing what's going on with the play. You'll see him hanging out around the line of scrimmage, and he'll be waiting to watch the play action or the handoff. Man, he has explosion for a guy that isn't the fastest. So he's going to be key. The Colts are going to have to account for him. Just in general, this linebacking core, though, has a lot of deficiencies. And the Colts, with the way that they're wanting to run this offense, if they play into their hands with the extremely short game, it's going to be a long night. It is going to be bad for the Colts. Whoever plays wide receiver in the slot for the Colts Thursday will have a very they'll be very important to this offense in general, the success. With Stephen Gilmore as the boundary corner, the wide receiver three is going to have to work well between the linebackers and the nickel in order to help out Luck. There's a zone there on either side almost every play. The way that the Patriots drop into coverage, the way that they attack the line of scrimmage, it leaves the void here. And the Colts, I mean, he could have a big game. It could be Pascal. It could be anybody. It could be Johnson. I mean, we don't know who's going to be there. But whoever ends up being in that Z role is going to have very much a real chance to kind of blow this game up a little bit. I think it'll be – I'm worried about the Stephon Gilmore matchup, though. I'll be honest with you on that. And like I said, whoever runs the slot, whoever continues to move in motion, they've got a real chance to blow this game up, I think. You get past that nickel and that linebacker, and you've got they rotate their safeties a little bit more liberally than the Colts do. The Colts don't disguise a whole lot. These guys disguise at the snap, and the Colts could break some big plays that way. If the Dolphins kind of began to combat the fullback Michelle combo by beefing up at the line of scrimmage, almost like making him beat them in the passing game. Basically, it was crazy. They were basically daring Tom Brady to throw deep or use the play action to get him. And obviously he did, but they did stop the run for a little bit. The thing was, is it was working so well and it was so well schemed up against this Miami Dolphins defense that it was literally a check at the line of scrimmage at some point where they could check out of it and run at least a solid protection scheme by leaving the fullback in, swinging him out, swinging Michelle out, leaving Michelle in the block, just different things like that. Brady had a lot of, obviously has any latitude he wants at the line of scrimmage, and he used it against Miami and just murdered them. And I mean, they just put their foot on their throat. So it'll be interesting to see if this is a very small part of it. Maybe they use it in some high pressure situations just for its success level last Sunday, or if they just leave it and pitch it all the way to get all, you know, completely. If they rushed five against Miami, Tannehill was like quickly under fire. His offensive line is not great either, and they were coming from all angles on him. He didn't really have a place to run. He didn't know whether to step up, try to escape, or just throw screens so he had some guy to just throw it at their feet in the dirt and not get a penalty for it. When they came, he was in trouble. They use Hogan in a condensed formation. They use him a lot with motion and using the X and Z receivers as vertical routes. And then they'll bring Hogan underneath on like an intermediate crosser. And it's deadly because those two guys, the X-Z combination out there, they are ultimately running their defenders off and running, you know, vertical routes to take them with them. And especially if they figure out that it's man, they know what they're doing. And Hogan's deal is he just runs that crosser, loses his man, and stays underneath his wide receivers out there who are running them off. And it's effective. If they hit him early, that's a lot of yak. I mean, he's going to have one guy to beat who's not currently being blocked, and it's the safety. So that's something the Colts need to look for as well. Watch him when he's in motion. He gets inside on that or deep down up next to the tight end, and watch him kind of leak out as a crosser just around the middle. It can be difficult. The Colts use this a little bit themselves, but they use it towards the flat as opposed to a crossing pattern. So a little different usage there within the scheme that I noticed as well from the Colts. Passes along the line of scrimmage this week are going to be very, very dangerous. The Colts are not, I mean, Luck can catch and throw pretty quickly. But there's something about his delivery that kind of makes it fairly obvious what's going on. I don't know what it is, but excuse me, you see defenses, there's something they hit on, and they see that he does something, and boy, man, it seems like they're on it. Like, seems like there's two or three guys having both their hands up along the line of scrimmage in the passing lane every time the Colts do this, and the Colts are just not good at running them. For some reason in this scheme, these are not working at all. Either it's really poor execution, or it's kind of a faulty design that's not based around their skill sets. Something is up with it. There's a you know, a little bit of a divide here in way or another. I'm just trying to figure out what that is. So that's going to be kind of an issue for the Colts. I hope that they don't use it. It's just not going to work much. Reich needs to dial something up there. Yeah, I mean, he's going to have to read the room ultimately and see, look, this is working, this isn't. Something about this play isn't working. What are they keying on? What are they seeing? And we talked about how he used a little bit of misdirection this past week with using Quentin Nelson to pull right, using Nyheim Hines out into the flat in the left. And that really helps. So hopefully he's seeing this too, that some of these defenses are keying on what they're doing. And the Colts need to do it too. They need to pay attention that, is this obvious? Are they doing this a lot? And if they are, you know, you don't allow them to eat up that key. And that's important for the Colts. And looking at this defense for the Patriots, kind of, I don't know how much Colts are going to run it. I don't know how much they should run it either, for that matter. But there's cutback lanes for the backs against this defense. They're typically on outside runs, cutting it back to the middle. Not necessarily breaking through the second level and breaking out. It's more of breaking in from somewhere out, not necessarily between the tackles. There were some lanes there, and anybody who's got some quick step ability, who's really got some energy in this game and is running hard, has an opportunity to break one. I think they're there, and they're over pursuit. The linebackers simply aren't agile enough to recover when they over pursue, and they often over pursue. It's just that they've got it schemed up well enough to where there's somebody on the backside there who's over pursuing as well, and he seems to be in that lane. There is a very defined cutback lane though against this Patriots defense. The Colts need to find it, and you see him open up occasionally. So the Colts get something to where they can cut back a little bit. Hopefully the Colts can rip off one of their longest rushes of the year. I think their longest rush from a running back is 18 yards from Wilkins. Yuck. Not good. So this is going to be a great, great test for the Colts, guys. The Colts have to be in this game like they have been the past several weeks. All weeks. Every week this year. They've got to do it. If they can, I mean, they've got an opportunity to steal one. They're in Foxborough, short week. I know the Patriots got a short week too, but that makes home field advantage. That makes the injury issues bigger. That makes everything more pronounced for the Colts. The Colts are going to have to get by on some of this stuff and really start to, you know, learn to have some of these young guys step up and step up in a big way. It's perfect opportunity for them to do it. There's too many guys who are guaranteed to be out for them not to have the opportunity. Now, everybody at any position on this Colts team says they didn't have the opportunity to make an imprint. They're wrong. They're gonna have it. So I don't have the Colts winning in this, though. I just think there's a lot stacked against them right now. I do think they can. I'm just not going to pick them. I think it's mostly close, though. I think that the Colts can. There's a different way that the Colts go about some of these games. They come back late and they get within striking distance when it's too late, like way too late, like maybe an 8 or 10 point deficit, and it looks closer than the game was, where it was over a 2-score game. Some of those happen. There's other times when it's a 1-score game, the entire game back and forth, and the Colts are in it, and then they get a turnover and something happens and where a team will score late and make it a 2-score game, make it look like a blowout. So I'm a little in between those two as to where I want to go with this. It's hard to gauge right now because of where each team is currently at and what they're doing and how they're scheming offensively and defensively and so on. But if I have to guess, I think that this is about a 9-point win for the Colts or for the Patriots. I think this just seems. I know that that Brady's had bad games. I know that their offensive line, their running game, their defense has had bad games. It's all true, and the Colts could steal it. They very much could. But if I got to guess, I'm taking the Patriots to beat the Colts this week. Just think there's too much stacked against them right now. So if you guys want to, you can also listen here shortly after the break, and you'll catch me on Sirius XM radio and kind of the spot that I did with these guys, talk a little bit about the teams, a little bit about this matchup, just a little bit of everything. So be fun to listen if you guys want to listen for the second half of the show. Thank you guys. Always remember, listen, if you're on YouTube or you're on the podcast, make sure you're going and subscribing to the podcast, the audio, get that version too. Make sure that you guys are going and subscribing to on any of these platforms. We're everywhere. Steven's going to be coming up, real soon with his first show. Excited for that. Like I said, we've got a lot more plans in the future for this the way that this is going. It's going to be really fun. Your ears are going to love it. So thank you guys all for listening. We're going to kill the show after the spot on XM and Sirius. But thank you guys all for listening. We'll do a review show after this Week 5 matchup in Foxborough with the Patriots. Thank you guys all for listening. We'll talk to you next time right here on the Colts Cast.
Now back to Between the Sidelines.
All right, straight out to the phones. Matt Danley joins us here, Colts senior writer, SB Nation at MDanleySB up on Twitter. And Matt, I would assume since you cover the Colts and tomorrow, you'll also be lining up at wide receiver and possibly offensive line, considering all of the injuries that the Colts are going through.
Man, I think they might need me. I did play a little wide receiver in school, so they might need my length. They might just need a warm body at this point.
Yeah. So in all seriousness, looking at this, and we've seen a couple of official designations like T.Y. Hilton now out. I'll walk people through the injuries. T.Y. Hilton officially out. What other names are not going to play on Thursday?
Yeah, he and Jack Doyle. We also got word that Denzel Good was out. This isn't injury related, though. He had a bad family issue. His brother was actually killed in a drive-by this past weekend, so he did not make any of the practices after Monday, and that's unfortunate. But Marlon Mack is also out for second or third straight week.
Yep.
Kenny Moore is now out with a concussion, and he's kind of a big one. If you watched the Texans game last week, you saw that Kenny Moore was really in Hopkins' hip pocket most of the time. And unless there was a lot of, a lot of time between the snap, the coverage, and the throw, Kenny Moore did a really nice job in there, and they hurt with him out. Also, Hassan Ridgeway, and the interesting one for me, and I think a lot of other Colts fans, is Quincy Wilson. He's been in the concussion protocol for a while now, had a broken hand before, no mention of that now, and they're apparently seems to be some actual question whether he's actually in concussion protocol. So that's interesting, and we're not getting any news on that, nor do I expect us to, but that's one to keep an eye on for sure. But some big names out for the Colts this week on a short week, especially traveling to Foxborough. Not a good idea. Not a good deal.
Yeah, exactly. Short week, you're on the road to New England, and you have this injury report that's the laundry list, and it's got big names on it. We had the graphic up there on the screen if you're watching on VSiN.com or Fubo TV. So Anthony Costanzo down there at the bottom of the list, he's been on there each week, Matt. Now, what's the problem with his hamstring injury? Is there a chance he could play this week? And I want to follow that up with a question on Marlon Mack, because he came back for the Redskins game. He's been out since. Mm-hmm. Those two guys, I think, pretty important to that Colts offense.
Especially Anthony Costanzo. And his has been pretty much – his was originally a non-football injury right before training camp, and came into training camp kind of banged up, worked through it, got injured again. He's been out ever since. So – obviously when you see LaRaven Clark, a combination of Joe Haig and Denzel Good at right tackle, even Haig at left tackle early in the season in the first week, this is not ideal for how you're protecting your franchise quarterback coming back from a year off of work here. So it's kind of interesting to watch and think. I think Costanzo has a legitimate shot to play, being that they have the kind of the mini bye after this week and don't play again until Sunday. it depends how careful they want to be and how good he looks. He was only limited in all three practices to this week, and even Monday and Tuesday were just like straight walkthroughs. There was really no anything resembling a practice with that. And so I think that, I mean, there's a chance. I don't think that it's likely, though, to be quite honest with you. And it would be strange because seven of them have already been designated as out. They would actually have to have an eighth inactive in order to have Costanzo not play in the game.
Okay, so Thursday night football, Colts Patriots, total 51, and the Patriots 10.5 point favorites.
Whew.
I'll just throw this out at you. Because of the short week, the fact the Colts are on the road, they're so banged up, they got so many key guys hurt, do you think there's a decent chance they get blown out in this game?
I think, of course there is. I mean, look,
yeah.
We look at what the offense can do. They've not been consistent. But they've got, you know, Andrew Luck. I mean, if week one and week four don't have your mind made up that Andrew Luck is for real this year and he's back as much as he's going to be back for the most part, you need to go watch those games again. Aside from that, you know, he still is kind of in only week four of a legitimate NFL season in this offense and in this scheme. And it is fun to watch some of Frank Reich's little wrinkles that he puts into the offense and the approach to each play and drive. There's a chance, but that at the same time, you know, we've seen the Patriots kind of, you know, drop the ball several times. And it on the road in Foxborough after a big blowout of the Dolphins, it's hard to think that the Colts have a realistic shot of putting this behind him. But I tell you what, if Andrew Luck can play like he did for about 25 of those, you know, 62 or 30 of those attempts that he threw the other day against the Texans, he could bring this team within striking distance. That's what they've done all year so far. They've been in games in week one. It was a one-score game until under a minute to go. Week two, they win. Week three and week four, they honestly should have won both of those games. They spot the Texans with 14, and then, you know, the Eagles, they had too many mistakes, not going, you know, not being really aggressive on a consistent basis with every play call. So I think that they're showing a lot more, especially on defense, than people expected. So they've got a puncher's chance. There's no two ways about it. But if Andrew Luck could pull out this win, I dare to say this could be maybe his best and most impressive regular season win of his career. Would you guys agree with that, or is that a little hyperbole?
I mean, it would be. I just don't expect it to. I don't expect it to happen. When you look at that list, Matt, with guys like T.Y. Hilton and everybody who's on that list, and even guys like Darius Leonard defensively, so
right.
many guys who are valuable to the Colts, and I think they need them on the field to upset the Patriots. I would be shocked if Luck could pull it off. But yeah, you're right. If he does pull it off, that's one of the best wins he's had. In
right.
his career, no question. Wouldn't you agree, JVT? You're a Colts super fan.
Yeah. Yes, 100%.
Okay.
I would agree with that. But let me ask you this, Matt, because, you know, you bring up the offense, and I think the general sense is that this offense looks pretty decent for the most part, and I would agree with you. Like, watching Andrew Luck throw for over 400 yards just this last week, it does answer some questions, too, because in the Eagles game, it didn't look like the arm strength was there. There was the shoulder questions already when Brissett comes out to throw the Hail Mary.
Right.
And he looked a lot better challenging it downfield. But when I watch it, I'm somewhat impressed by the offense. But you look at the numbers, 29th in yards per play, 24th in total yards. Why is it that some of the numbers are coming out and showing us that this offense is almost like anemic when it comes to certain metrics?
Well, there's a lot of it is the play design. A lot of it is the system itself. They've built this, and they know that they've got kind of, you know, the weakness is their tackles right now, where if you watch some of these pockets that Andrew Luck is playing in, he's got – some help up front. He's got protection in the interior of this offensive line. A lot of the pressure is coming from the outside. The real thing here for these tackles is they just got to get them outside of that circle. They can keep them outside of the circle. You allow Andrew Luck to step up and make plays like he did this week in rhythm, on time, and with like some really real precise accuracy. So, I mean, there's a little bit that's going to go there, but man, I tell you, it just – the offense is so back and forth right now, it's really hard to figure out what you're going to get. And when you don't have a running game, you've got your top tackle out, You don't really have even a top 15 to 20 tackle as a backup right now. And you've got some – basically, you have nothing at wide receiver after T.Y. Hilton in terms of game-breaking material. You've got some consistency with Ryan Grant and maybe even a little upstart type look with Zach Pascal. But you got to be realistic about the whole picture here and what they really bring against a team that is one of the best coach teams in the league, if not the best coach team in the league. And they've got, a 50-year-old quarterback who can still sling it with anybody. So, I mean, it's just going to be a tall order.
So, man, coming into this year, I thought the offense was going to be awesome and that the defense was going to be terrible. And then now, for 4 weeks, it's actually like that defense is really feisty, man. And a lot of that has to do with Darius Leonard. What's his status? What's going to happen with him? Because I know he's on this injury report. And what's going to be the difference if he can't give this a go on Thursday?
Yeah, they're fun. I mean, this defense is fun. I told people this year, I don't know how good they're going to be, but they're going to be exciting. And they've proved that. Mm. And Leonard is – he sat out the first 2 days of the walkthrough, but was limited today. And that is a sign of hope. Like I said, anybody who is anything other than out right now, if they miss this game, the Colts are going to have more inactives than they've had any time this year. I don't know if they've had more than seven in several years because of injuries, even though they've had a lot of injury issues. But Darius Leonard is clearly the spark plug of this defense right now. And you know what? There's a guy who's flying under the radar that also is a part of building the chemistry of this linebacking core in which Colts fans have not seen in a long time, and it's Anthony Walker. He's not flashy. He's just not allowing yards after catch. He's solid in coverage. He's coming up nice on the run. I mean, good support there. And you've got two of those guys there, and where they look at their Sam options, and their Sam is almost never on the field. Now, it's not a high snap count position anyhow. But, I mean, we're talking they're almost exclusively going with heavy nickels with Gethers in the box or even Farley, the safety, or they're just running with, their Will and their Mike. And that is proving to be successful right now with kind of how Matt Eberflus, the defensive coordinator, is calling the plays. But, boy, I actually was one of, I think, very few people who really liked the Darius Leonard pick. It took about a third watch of his college tape, but boy, I think he's surprised at least 99% of Colts fans and probably even the same amount of analysts nationwide.
Second round pick out of South Carolina State, correct?
Yep.
Darius Leonard. Looked like a really good pick. Chris Ballard's made some nice moves.
Yeah.
The rivalry is back. The rivalry is back. Colts and Patriots. Matt, you said you played some wide receiver. Where'd you play?
Just here in high school, played a little bit in school in Southern Indiana, but 6'2", and not exactly the quickest and fleetest of foot when it comes to colleges. So, didn't last long. It turned into be go for school instead of sports.
I got you. I just wanted to see if there was a possibility you could put on number 14 this week and take T.Y. Hilton's place, but I guess it doesn't sound like it.
Ooh, no. Huh? Oof, no. I got
T.Y.?
I got him in height, but not in speed.
You can find him on Twitter at mdanley, SP. All right, Matt, so we've talked about this a couple times now. Again, it is a 10.5-point spread. Before we get you out of here, official selection. Is it a blowout, or do they stay within the 10.5?
I don't know if they stay within 10.5.
That's okay.
Trying to quantify a blowout there. I mean, if it's a one-score game and it becomes a 14-point game, within the last couple minutes of the game, it's hard for me to call it a blowout. But I think that line is really, really close to accurate. I'll just put it that way. And I'd say a 10 or a 9-point game would be something that the Colts should be hoping for at the end of the fourth quarter. That puts them in striking distance with a guy like Andrew Luck, who's shown that he can put some sizzle on the ball a little bit, regardless of what people are thinking of his arm strength. So I think it's pretty close.
All right, I lied. This is the last one. I think this is more fair. Total is 51. What kind of a game do we see in terms of pace and scoring?
Oh, that's fun. I think it's over for sure.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Absolutely.
Easy enough.
The linebacker,
Matt Danley, you can find him on. Go ahead.
Sorry, the linebackers for the Patriots are slow and plotting, And that's going to be a point of interest, I think, if you watch the Colts offense. They're going to try and pick those guys apart. They're not going to be able to hang with anybody in coverage. And the Colts just better hope that they don't have to run the ball, because if they do, they're in real trouble.
Matt Danley can find his work up at Colts, the Colts section, Stampede Blue, SB Nation. Matt, thanks for the time, man. Appreciate it.
Anytime. Thank you guys for having me on. Stampede Blue.
Hello, I'm Spencer Hall from SB Nation, and I want to tell you about my new show, It Seemed Smart. It Seemed Smart is a show about people doing things that, for some reason or another, seemed smart at the time. Those things might include doing a little cocaine and driving a bike up a mountain. Or, I don't know, maybe racing 100 miles per hour across the country in the middle of the night with no one's permission. Or even stealing a bat from an umpire's room in a Major League Baseball park. Check it out, and if you like it, tell a friend. I'm Spencer Hall. Don't do anything smart.